Mobile.
DBG, KD2BNG, good afternoon.
KD2BNG, this is K4CBG, Carlos here. How are you?
DBG. Yeah, I'm good. How you doing?
Following this balmy Friday afternoon.
I was actually getting used to having it a few degrees cooler. This is almost starting to get into summer weather.
It was right cold last week in the mornings. It was a little bit below my comfort zone. I had to get dressed up again last week.
I don't like cold, but, you know, not that fond of heat either. It's spring, it's summer, it's winter, it doesn't know what season it is yet. It's, springer.
I planted a little vegetable garden. It didn't know which way it was up. I hope that it will have survived the cold temps in the mornings. I got a little bit of frost damage, not frost, but just cold damage. But I hope that everything will pull through.
Planting. I want to try to plant some more tomatoes again this year. Never had that much luck with tomatoes. It's always either too hot, too cold, too rainy, not enough rainy. They don't need the very best soil. But we don't have great soil down here anyway.
Got some tomatoes in. I usually do okay with tomatoes. We'll see. I tried a hybrid this year. I always put some Cherokee purples in. They always do well for me. And I put in a hybrid next to those. They seem to have survived to this point. I think if you made it this far, I think we're in the clear.
Any of the hybrid seeds. What was the other variety you say you planted?
Cherokee purple. One of those, what do you call it, original seeds, can't think of the name of it, but it has always done well for me. It gets about the size of your fist, nice and juicy, good on sandwiches.
Type. An indeterminate type? Does it keep producing fruit, or produces fruit once and that's it?
Seeds, so you're right, it would be an heirloom.
And also, what the little I know of tomato allergy, is determinate and indeterminate types. Depending on whether it blooms once and that's all you ever get, or it keeps making fruit throughout the whole growing season. The ones that keep flowering and keep making more tomato fruits are indeterminate types, I think.
Yeah, with all this, the quarantine and the homeschooling and all that. My son, who's in the 10th grade, they were doing genes. So we studied genotypes, phenotypes, alleles, dominant and recessive, and little tables you build for the parents and the dominants and the recessive. So it was a little bit apropos of. Of planting season.
Genetics. Going back, I think, to like 1840, 1850, he studied pea plants, I think, to determine, dominant recessive traits. It was pea pods or some other plants. I think it was pea pods.
We did a little bit of a history thing, and that's what it was. It was peas.
I've forgotten all that by this time. You know, basic high school genetics or basic high school or, low-level college chemistry and physics and all that should still be with you, but somehow you don't, it goes away.
Actually enough, I just read that Charles Murray just had a book out. I think it was called Genetic Diversity, but he has a fairly in-depth discussion of that kind of stuff and the new all the genetic research that's going on and the gene classification and all that stuff, genome classifications, and he the way he was discussing it, for whatever reason, I was having a hard time hanging on, but the little discussion that this class had did the trick, man. The light went off. I understood it.
And it's interesting, it wasn't another 100 years or so that the basic mechanism was discovered. The DNA molecule dates to what? The early 50s. So these laws of genetics were known, it just wasn't really known how.
Pure observation back in those days. That was just from pure observation.
Well, you know, that's all most of the sciences are, really, is pure observation. Well, I mean, the hard sciences, physics, chemistry, yeah, you can design experiments that either prove or disprove something, but, you know, like the social sciences, psychology, can you really do... Well, yeah, I guess you can design an experiment. Most of that's observation, too, though.
Yeah, that book is called Human Diversity. He makes the argument that with the advent of all this genetic coding, that the social sciences, you know, sociology, psychology, and all that stuff is becoming a hard science because you can, if you observe something, you can start to back things up if you have a genetic sample.
That too. Human behavior is too complicated, too diverse to understand in terms of genetics. I mean, we can say there's a certain defective gene pair that causes a propensity for violence, or a propensity for other antisocial behavior, or obese, well, you know, or aggression, or addiction, or something like that, but it's too complicated a relationship. Obviously, not everyone who has a defective XYZ gene is going to be a drug addict.
He says, is yes. He addresses that. He says that the countervailing nurture part of the equation can be effective, but in the in modern society, those countervailing forces are largely deteriorating. So families and churches and all those things that used to counteract have lost a lot of their impact in the society.
Taking their place. Those were the traditional factors, the glue that held society together and some, you know, provided a structure to society, but, you know, who says they're gone or they're not some other form? Maybe now it's, I hate to say it, maybe now it's social media, who knows? But something has to give structure to society. If it's not religion or family, there's got to be something else. Popular culture. I know, this is a sad idea.
The point is, what's the old saying? Even not answering is an answer. Yeah, you're going to be affected by something. The question is, what will the results be?
Institutions are more homogenized. I mean, we've gone beyond the idea of, like, the nuclear family or maybe the tribe as being the core social units. Society's too complicated for that now. And your attempts to impose artificial social structures, school, church, other activities, you know, what other activities structure human societies? In the past, it was, religion, education, membership in, membership in organizations that, let's say, have an artificial structure imposed on them. The Kiwanis Club became a substitute for, you know, the family or the tribe. Organizations on which, along which you choose to organize yourself, if it makes sense.
One of the things he was getting at was there was a lot of time-tested results from the traditional societal influences. But I think it was him that used a he used the example of the gangs. What is it, El Salvador, where the bad gangs came from? You know, it was a downward spiral of teens raising teens. You know, because all of the older men, I guess, for whatever reason, died off or got killed or whatever. But young men were being influenced by other young men, and you know, part of his argument was the way that society took the rough edges off a young man was to have older men to show them that, you know, that they needed them to be responsible and gentle and stuff like that.
Here's another example of artificial, you know, not the traditional organizers of society. Again, probably not one of the better ones, not one of the more positive ones. But humans seek social structure, whether that's artificially imposed or whether it comes out of natural things like the family group or the tribal group. There has to be, in human societies, I should think, some organizing principle.
That's it. Well, listen, I'm pulling into the homestead. We'll solve the world's problems another day. K4CBG 73, sir, and what was the call sign and the name again?
Kilo Delta 2 Bravo November Golf. Name is Glenn, and works out well because I'm just pulling into my driveway here. All right, K4CBG, K82BG, 73s. Talk to you later.